Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, Season 2, Episode 76. My co-host David Todd is flying to London today. I'm assuming that's London, England. I guess I don't know if he's got some sort of shindig he's going to with the Queen or not. With David, anything is possible when it relates to that. I don't know what's going on there, but he might be out for a show or two. And as usual, sitting in David's absence is Nick Ricchetta, a longtime listener, longtime contributor to the Terrible Podcast. Nick, thanks for joining me. Happy Friday to you.
And happy Friday to you, too. Glad to be back, Dave.
I tell you, Nick, I don't know if it's the internet and Twitter and social media, but there seems to be no off-season now when it comes to news, especially related to the Steelers stuff. I mean, it's just been nonstop since the Steelers lost to the Denver Broncos in the AFC wildcard game. Of course, the latest and hot news, that we can talk about is the Todd Haley press conference yesterday when he was introduced by head coach Mike Tomlin as a new offensive coordinator for the Steelers. There was also an interview that Ed Bouchette did with Ben Roethlisberger prior to that podcast. Give me your thoughts. I know both of us are Randy Feetner guys. That's kind of who I thought, they might have their eyes on, and evidently it was probably down between him and Todd Haley if you read some of the media reports floating around out there. What did you take away from the Todd Haley press conference yesterday?
Well, during the press conference, I mean, it made me, a little more comfortable with him, I guess. Obviously, I voiced my opinion on him in previous podcasts. I wasn't too keen about him coming in. I really wasn't sure about what kind of guy he was, seeing him getting the arguments on the sidelines with some of his players, people kind of characterize him as a jerk and sometimes like that. But, it's tough to tell from a press conference. I mean, he said all the right things. He certainly looked the part. So, I mean, I guess we just got to trust what the Steelers are going to do because, I'll be the first one to admit when Cowher retired and they were bringing in guys to interview, Tomlin was the last guy I wanted in there. I didn't know too much about him. And when they hired him, I was not happy with it. And, I guess look how that turned out. So it kind of shows how much I know. I guess at this point we just kind of trust what the Steelers are going to do and trust that front office and trust the Rooneys and trust Tomlin's intuition there. And, I mean, it's kind of a high-risk, high-reward type of thing. I mean, obviously the guy's got talent. He has the potential to bring this offense to new heights with the weapons we have in the young receiving core and Mendenhall and Redmond and, of course, Ben. I mean, we're going to see. But, it's going to be tough to – it's going to be – interesting to see how this plays out as it goes along, if him and Ben are going to butt heads a little bit. But Ben sounded all right with it in the interview he did. So we're just going to have to let it play out, and hopefully, the terminology isn't changed up too much and they don't come in and scrap everything, because you don't want these, Ben at this point in his career to have to, learn a whole new offense. You don't want to mess up these young receivers' progression. So we're going to have to see how it is. Obviously, there's going to be adjustments for everybody, not just Haley, but Ben and the young receiving core and the offense included.
And, Haley did say that he used the phrase, starting from a clean slate. But he did say that a lot of the terminology will carry over. Now, where those two, axes overcross, intersect, we just don't know. It does sound, though, that a lot of what Arians and Wisenhunt and, before him, it sounds like, there's going to be some changes. And when you read the interview that Bouchette did with Roethlisberger yesterday before the press conference, I think, Ben tried to point to the young receivers and how they you know, were just catching on to what they were supposed to be doing. Because let's face it, Mike Wallace has 3 years in the offense. Antonio Brown and Emmanuel Sanders only 2 years, and Sanders really a little bit less than that. You know, when you take into account the injuries and all he had. Now he's been in the system and watching film. He just hadn't been on the field as much as the other two guys have been over the years. So. You know, I can see the concern there because Ben sees it. I mean, how many times did we see Ben's frustration with, you know, Antonio Brown not picking up a hot read or Wallace, you know, probably not running as crisp of routes and Wallace catching I'm not going to bring into catching the ball, you know, in his body because that's more mechanics than it is learning the offense. But you know, Ben tried to point to that as an excuse of why he hopes things do not change drastically in the offense. I believe a little bit of that, but I also think Ben was using that, you know, somewhat as a crutch to just pretty much saying, hey, I don't want things to change. And listen, now it's human nature to buck change, to be forced out of a zone that's very comfortable to you. I mean, it's human nature. And heck, anybody, you know, me included, I'm 43 years old, and Jesus, I hate when my coffee makers move to a different side of the countertop. It blows my top, you know. So, you know, when you go into something like this, this has all pretty much been as known for the most part has been Wisenhunt's and Arians' offense. So, you know, how much do you think he was using that as a crutch, and how much do you think he's going to initially fight this?
I think he, like you said, I think crutch is a good word, or just kind of trying to beat around the bush a little bit. I think they're going to be, both of them are going to be straightforward with each other. I don't think Ben's a big bullcrapper when it comes to talking to coaches, and obviously we know Todd Haley ain't going to pull no punches with anybody. So initially, you know, they might not hit it off right away, you know, and who knows, maybe they will. Maybe for the fact that they're both going to go in there, get nose to nose and tell each other what they want, you know, and then honesty is going to smooth over that relationship. But, you know, maybe Ben does need a little bit of a kick in the pants. At some points, because, you know, we know, you know, Ben can be a little bit of a drama queen sometimes, and at times it seems like he wants to run the entire offense. And yes, he is your franchise quarterback, but you also have an offensive coordinator that's going to install an offense and call the plays. It's not just Ben's offense, you know, now it's going to be part Haley's too. So Ben's going to have to realize that, and they're going to have to work together. And, you know, it's really going to be interesting to see. I honestly can't say either way what's going to happen. In the beginning, when they first were thinking about hiring him, I was saying, you know, there's no way this is going to work out. Him and Ben are going to butt heads. They're going to get into it all the time, and it's just going to be a disaster. But now that it's happened, you know, you want to try and look on the bright side and say, well, you know, it could work out, you know, just trying to look up to things. But we're going to see. We're going to see how it's going to work out. The one thing I really did like that Haley emphasized in his press conference was when, I forget who asked the question, but they said, you know, is there going to be more of an emphasis on running the ball or throwing the ball in this offense? And Todd Haley's response was, there's going to be an emphasis on winning. And I really like that, you know, and he's shown that, you know, he can work with the personnel in Arizona. He took that wide receiving core and Kurt Warner, and that's what they did. They threw the ball over the lot because that's the personnel they had. When he went to Kansas City, they had two good running backs in Jamal Charles and Thomas Jones, and they pounded the rock. So now, you know, he's coming into Pittsburgh where they have more of a balanced attack. You know, with the wide receiving core that they have and the young talent they have the potential to throw the ball over the lot. But, you know, you can't discount guys like Rashard Mendenhall and Isaac Redmond. I think it's, you know, it all comes down to the offensive line again. If they want to run block, then we'll run the ball. And they can protect Ben. We're going to throw the ball over the lot. And I think this is probably the most balanced offense Haley's been able to be in his career so far. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how it's going to balance out and if he's going to tend more to run or pass or you know, hopefully he's just going to play to the strength. And like he said, you know, whatever's working at the time, that's what you're going to do. You're not going to try and go in with a game plan. You know, we're going to run the ball X amount of times. He said, you know, if you to win the game, if you have to run the ball 63 times, then they're going to hand the ball off 63 times. So I like the emphasis on winning. I like the emphasis on the fact that he's just going to go into a game and do what he's got to do to get the victory.
I think another thing, though, too, when Mike Tomlin was introducing him in his introduction bit that he had there, he said something to the fact that let's see if I can find it here. Transition is going to be a challenge. He says we're excited about that. He says today we won't get into too many details in what our personality will be, stating we find pleasure in that being somewhat of a mystery, but we're excited about the process. And of course, in a press conference, especially a Pittsburgh Steelers press conference of any kind, you're not going to know the direction that this offense is going to go. And when you go back and you look at the track record of Todd Haley, which I have the stats I put up on his resume up on SteelersDepot.com. He did go from a top rated passing unit in Arizona to a predominantly kind of a run focused type offense in Kansas City, and he was right near the top in both. Now the question becomes, as far as the personnel goes, they had Edgerrin James and Tim Hightower there in Arizona, and of course this is not the same Edgerrin James that was in with the same level of talent that it was with Indianapolis all those years, and the jury's always been out on kind of what Tim Hightower is or isn't either. And that offensive line, to me, was not the best dating back to that time. It was probably better than what the Steelers had at that time, because let's face it, when the Steelers won it all against the Seahawks and against the Cardinals, those were not the best offensive line the Steelers have had. You did have, of course, Faneca there in the Super Bowl against the Seahawks, of course, but one thing that Haley is known for is being able to adapt to personnel. And I think that was the biggest card in his corner, along with his ability to push Ben Roethlisberger. And I think those are the two things that probably stuck out to Rooney or to Tomlin, whoever you want to say was the one that pulled the punch on this of hiring Haley. I think those are the two biggest things. Now, it's obvious, and I said in my interview on Trib Live Radio yesterday, talking to Mike Graw, that, it was obvious. I mean, Arians, and we've said this all along, Arians and Roethlisberger, probably the relationship was too buddy-buddy. There's kind of reports saying that Ben pretty much did what he wanted to do in that offense. And, if indeed that is the fact, a fact, well, shame on Bruce Arians for letting it get to that point without being able to draw the line there. So that's probably, I've always been like, I'd never really had a problem with Arians as far as from a play calling standpoint all along. I've made that totally clear all along as well, too. I think the problems in the red zone were definitely problems. Scoring was the problem. Between the 20s, I think we can all agree the Steelers moved the ball and did good, pretty much in a pass-first offense, kind of leading the charge to what, in the shift of what the NFL has become into a passing league. So, those are kind of my thoughts about it. I don't think you can put your thumb on exactly what Todd Haley's going to do in this offense now, just based on his track record in Arizona and with Kansas City. He is an egomaniac, I think, more so, but what offensive coordinator isn't? I think he's very demonstrative. He did say at the end of that press conference when asked if he's going to be in the upstairs or on the sideline, although he didn't answer the question, I firmly believe he's going to be on the sideline so he can get in these guys' faces and all. So, do you think he's going to go towards more of a balanced attack here with the run and the pass?
I do. I think the reason because of that is not because that's what he wants to do. I think, like you said, he's shown that he's been able to adjust to personnel. And in Arizona, he had a passing attack, and when he came to Kansas City, he had a running attack. So I think his eyes kind of lit up, when he come in and saw, what the Steelers have in this offense. the offensive line is really the thing that's going to make this go. They have the skill positions. When you put these skill positions, you know, when you see these names on paper, it's insane how much skill and ability they have, and it's just all coming down to, can the offensive line open up holes in the run game, and can they protect Ben Roethlisberger? And I think that's what it's going to come down to. I don't think there's going to be any issue with how Todd Haley is going to run this offense. I think he's going to have a balanced attack, and he's going to do whatever it takes to win the football game. And, you know, just like you said, I think the biggest thing with Haley coming in is it's all going to be about Ben Roethlisberger's attitude. He's not going to have as much control of the offense as he did with Bruce Arians. I really think Todd Haley's going to come in. He's going to be a guy that's going to get in his face a little bit, and it's going to be interesting to see how Ben's going to react. I really, really can't wait to get out to training camp and see those guys converse with each other and see how they interact with each other and see how Ben reacts to him. You know, if he does something wrong and Haley gets on his case a little bit, I really want to see if Ben's going to mope around or if it's really going to light a fire under his butt, because, you know, Ben has a tendency to kind of hang his head sometimes and you know, blame other people. But, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see if now Haley can really light a fire under Ben's butt here and get him rolling, because if that happens and they hit it off and have a good relationship, the sky is the limit with this offense.
And let's look at the time in Arizona there with Kurt Warner. And Kurt, let's take Kurt Warner, for example, though. Kurt Warner, I mean, his story is well documented. The guy came out of the Arena League, you know, which is a very quick strike, you know, type of league. And that sort of we see now the NFL sort somewhat becoming somewhat of an arena league type play based on the way the rules against the defenses are. And Warner, you know, has proven, you know, in his time with the Rams, how, you know, getting that ball out quickly is the key thing. And that's one thing that Roethlisberger, you know, I think either me and you or me and David have talked about this. I don't think Ben is as good of quarterback at reading, at going through his progressions of his reads. I think that's what ends up sometime of him holding on to the ball so long. You know, trying to give receivers extra time to get open, because I don't think he reads, you know, changes in defense as well. I might be wrong, and I don't know if you see something different in that, but maybe that's part of his play. But maybe he's going to have to now start trusting a little bit more that, you know, being open in the NFL, there's a very fine line. There's not much room when a receiver's open in the NFL. And I think, you know, some of those things have been thrown out there about some of these rookie quarterbacks, you know, recent quarterbacks coming out these last few years and I think Tim Tebow comes to mind is, you know, these guys got to know what open is in the NFL, and you've got to trust your accuracy to put in there. Now, Roethlisberger has had strong accuracy numbers throughout the year, but is that a result from him holding on to the ball too long and taking those sacks instead of, you know, maybe sacrificing some of his accuracy, you know, instead of some sacks? You know, how do you feel about that?
I know. As soon as you said that, the first thing that came to mind was, how many times have you seen Ben, you know, take a three-step drop, go to pull the trigger, and then pull it down and then start scrambling? You know, that's what we see so much out of Ben, and you got to wonder if that was the play design. I can't imagine that they have, you know, 10 plays a game where Ben drops back, take a three-step drop, pumps, and then starts scrambling all over the place. I mean, like you said, is it that he just can't read the defense? Is he unsure? Does he not trust his arm? Does he not trust his accuracy? I mean, you know, it just seems like so many times, you know, they're calling, you know, these little slants or these little dig underneath routes that Ben's supposed to get the ball quick out of his hands, and he just doesn't seem to trust himself, or he doesn't trust his receivers yet. Now, maybe that's because – I don't know who that's on.
You might be right here. Maybe he doesn't trust these receivers. Maybe he sees so much of – And don't get me wrong, people are going to think I'm tearing up Mike Wallace and Antonio Brown here. I mean, you know, maybe we have seen, and heck, I've watched these games 10 times myself each, and I know you watch them because you chart the games, you know, on the offensive side. But maybe he doesn't, and maybe this all boils back down to Arians, or maybe and the coaching in general of maybe these guys just need the giant kick in the ass, you know, to do this. And maybe this is maybe, you know, Ben's not getting, of course, Ben's going to always tell you he doesn't get enough credit. And some of the fan base will always say, well, Ben doesn't not get enough credit. But maybe these last several years are really a credit to Ben for getting the Steelers, you know, to the Super Bowls and winning a couple of these Super Bowls the last several years because of the – now, Santonio Holmes, of course, he's an excellent route runner. I mean, the guy can stop on a dime and give you 9 cents change. But maybe this is all of a big, giant snowball that just really came to the head, and maybe they just were lucky to get by in certain games through these last seasons and because of having a good defense to go along with it. And it reared its ugly head, you know, of course, in the red zone where you don't have a lot of room to operate. So, you know, maybe that's a whole giant part of the picture here.
Yeah, and like I, you know, in the same token as, you know, Ben dropping back and maybe not trusting himself, how many times have we also seen, we've seen the same amount of times as Ben, you know, pumps and starts scrambling, that his receivers have missed so many hot reads, especially, you know, the young guys like, well, actually all three of them, Mike Wallace, Antonio Brown, and Emmanuel Sanders, equally, they're missing a bunch of hot reads, and, you know, Ben's throwing behind them, and they're not looking, and then they throw their arms up in the air, like, whose fault is that? We really don't know who it is, so maybe, and, you know, Mike Wallace at the end of the year, you know, with his little, it looked like he had a little attitude problem. Maybe he was moping a little bit, not getting the ball enough. Then, you know, you suggested that maybe he needs to stop with the superstar crap and get his head in the playbook a little bit. And, you know, maybe Todd Haley coming in and kicking these guys in the ass is exactly what all of them need. You know, Antonio Brown, Emmanuel Sanders, I don't think they have any attitude problem, but they're young guys. And, you know, they need a kick in the pants sometimes, and Ben needs a kick in the pants sometimes, and maybe they all need a little bit of tough love to get their act together, focus, and really bring out all the talent and, you know, keep progressing. And because, you know, like I said, the sky's the limit with these guys. I mean, their ability is endless, and we could be a prolific offense and so electric in the passing game and the running game both. And maybe Todd Haley coming in and being tough on these guys is exactly what every single one of them needs. So it's going to be interesting to see.
Do you think Ben needs to get a little bit and through this transition? It's either going to go one way or the other. I don't think there's going to be a happy medium in here with Ben. I think Ben, after he has these meetings behind closed door meetings with Haley and all, he's going to say, hey, look, this is my way or the highway, basically as far as that goes. But do you think Ben needs to get a little bit more demonstrative with these young receivers instead of just kind of just grimace that famous Ben Roethlisberger grimace? You know, and kind of just shaking his head and saying, you know, maybe two words to the guy when he comes back to the huddle. Does Roethlisberger in turn need to get in these guys' faces more?
Maybe so. I mean, you know, he has such a good relationship with all of them, but, you know, tough love is the way to bring the best out in everybody. So maybe it's on Ben to do that, or maybe, you know, maybe it's not on Ben. Maybe it's going to be Haley's responsibility to do that and to be a little hard on these guys to bring the best out in them. I really don't know how it's going to be. I think more so than Ben getting his receiver's ears, I think it's going to be more so Ben putting his ego and his pride behind him a little bit and realizing that, hey, you know, this is, I'm, you know, the quarterback of this offense, but this is not just my offense now. You know, Todd Haley's going to want some control of this offense. And, you know, we always talked about how when BA was there with Ben, you know, how it was just Roethlisberger's offense. And now it's going to be Haley's offense too. So Ben's going to have to swallow his pride a little bit and realize that he's going to have to throw over some of the controls. And it's going to be, I'm really interested to see how he's going to react to that. You know, it could go either way. That's why I said this is a really high risk, high reward thing. You know, the bad part, the high risk part could really be bad for this offense if things explode and, you know, things could really take a turn for the worse. But if things go well and they end up having a good relationship and it lights a fire under Ben's butt and Ben realizes, you know, he's got to work with Haley, not just, you know, try and overrule him, and these receivers really get in their playbooks and get their acts together, I mean, they could be so incredibly explosive. It's scary.
And speaking of explosive, you know, the big thing that we see, and I'm a big fan of explosive plays in the NFL in general, that's how you win games, have more explosive plays than you give up on the other side. But that being said, I think a lot of that, you can do with the run after the catch, with the yak yards. And if you ask the offense, if you ask any offensive lineman if he'd rather run block or pass block, he's going to tell you he wants to run block. Now, I'm willing to bet, you know, from what I'm going back in my research that I've done on Haley and watching some film and all like that, I'm still willing to bet at the end of this regular season, when we look at the run and pass ratio, I'm willing to bet, you know, it's around 58%, 57, say 56 to 58% pass versus run. Because I, you know, let's face it, Nick. I mean, the offensive line is going through yet another change here. We're going to have Marcus Gilbert flipping over to left tackle. You're going to have Willie Colon hopefully back healthy and make it through a season this year at run at right tackle. Who knows who both the guards are going to be right now. I think Ramon Foster will likely start at right guard. He really was probably the most consistent guard the Steelers, or most consistent offensive lineman in general, the second half of the season, I thought. And, of course, you've got Marquise Pouncey at center there. So, you know, that's going to undergo a transition as well, too. So I think, even though they're going to want to run at times, I think they're going to have to need to pass enough still to kind of set up that run, in my opinion, right now. So we've got plenty of time to talk about this for sure. But, you know, I did think the press conference was good and was as expected. You said Todd Haley looked the part. Well, he looked like he'd been sleeping up underneath the overpass again.
I more so just meant how he was talking, not how he looked. Yeah, okay. He kind of looked like he'd been homeless for a little while.
Yeah, looked like he's still cooking in a meth lab, you know. Of course, I don't know. I kind of had these visions of what he would look like if he addressed the media in a suit and tie, but we're not going to see that anytime soon. But we got plenty of time to extrapolate this out for the offseason there. But a couple other things have actually gone on in Steeler Nation other than Todd Haley, you know, hiring and being announced. We've had quite a few restructures done. We've had the contracts of Lawrence Timmons and Lamar Woodley, of course, redone. That's not surprising at all. It was just a matter of when. What they ended up doing is taking both of their roster bonuses, 4.5 for Timmons and $5.5 million for Woodley. They combined that with and they took their base salaries down quite a bit for 2012, down to the minimum, actually, that the lowest that they could. They took that money and they rolled it together with these with the roster bonus and turned it into a signing bonus, and then stretched it out the remaining years of the contract. They also, it was announced today that Ike Taylor restructured, same situation there, except he did not have a roster bonus. That was a straight lowering, turning his base salary into signing bonus and stretching that out for the remaining 3 years that are left on his contract. They, of course, released Bryant McFadden and Arnez Battle. No big surprise there. And all in all, what we have seen done now is with all these recent moves and all, Omar Khan has instantly chopped off over $18 million off the salary cap. Now, There's a long way to go, and I think one of the things I want to stress here, Nick, today is people are saying, well, what, you know, you keep these restructures going and you keep pushing off this money and all like that. First of all, let's make this clear to everybody. I get a lot of questions about this. A restructure is not a pay cut. And people say, well, why? It's a good thing that the Steelers players are so willing to restructure. It's good for them to restructure on several accounts. A, it helps the team out. And B, it's instant money in their pocket. They're not taking a pay cut. Right. What they're doing is they're getting a check written out to them for money that they would have had to wait on getting paid. You know, if it's a base salary, these guys are paid weekly. If you take something like a roster bonus and all like that too, that would have been done, you know, due in March or something like that. Hey, if you ask me, anything could happen. I could tear my knee up tomorrow. Why wouldn't you want to get paid today? You know, so that's one thing to keep in mind with these restructures. Now, you are going to have situations with Casey Hampton, Hines Ward, if they don't have additional years tacked on to their contract, you could see a flat out a pay cut, basically, is what it would be, a restructure where they will actually have to give back money. But you have to look at it this way. Both these guys want to stay with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're not going to get that same money that they're scheduled to get with the Steelers out on the open market. I mean, who's going to pay, Casey Hampton? Let me look at his number real quick. You know, his base salary is nearly $4.9 million this year. Who's going to pay him that on the open market if he was just to be released, considering his age and coming off a knee problem? Nobody's going to pay him that money. Really the same with Hines Ward. And his $4 million base salary that he's due this year. So, you know, it behooves these guys, if they want to stay with the Pittsburgh Steelers for another year, to have a chance to win another Super Bowl, is to redo their contract. So, yeah, if they don't get another year added on, kind of a false year, kind of the way Aaron Smith's was done last year and all like that, those will be pay cuts. But when you hear a restructure done and it's used to, and you hear the word, you know, their base salary rolled into a salary signing bonus, that is not a pay cut. That is the getting paid up front, money in their pocket right there, and it also helps out the team. Now, another thing, people say, well, what about when you restructure this, all this money gets extrapolated out? Yes, that is the case. I mean, if you take, let's say, $4 million, And you pay it to the guy in base salary. If you take $4 million of his base salary, turn it into a signing bonus, you have to cut that check for the $4 million right there. But for salary cap purposes, you spread that out over the years of the contract. So this year, $1 million of that would go towards this year, $1 million to 2013, 2014, and on like that. Now, by doing a bunch of these restructures, yes, you can get into trouble salary cap-wise if you do it irresponsibly, okay? One thing that the Steelers have done over the years, and Omar Khan's so excellent about this, is not being irresponsible with this. Another thing that you have to think about is these TV contracts go into effect in 2014. That is when the salary cap numbers are going to just skyrocket up with all these new revenue coming into the league. So, you know, yeah, they're pushing off some money, I guess you could say, and you have to look at this thing like a giant spreadsheet as if you're an accountant here. That money's already getting paid to the player, whether, once they pay it out. The responsibility as far as accounting purposes, that gets stretched out over time. If you did that too much and too much of, too many amounts and not do it responsibly, yes, you could get into trouble. But for all those people who think, oh, man, you just keep pushing off this money, it's not a bad thing as long as you do it responsible the way the Steelers are doing, and they're working. And the great thing about this as well is we're having a shift now from an older team to a younger team now. So in the meantime, it allows us to keep the key veterans on the team while at the same time moving to youth on the roster. So, keep all that in mind. You read on these message boards, oh, to just keep pushing money off and all like that. But that's not, if it can be done wrong, yes. But in the Steelers situation with Omar Khan, it's not being done wrong.
Right, and there's going to be more moves to come too. I mean, there was talk about, you still got obviously Hines Ward to get restructured. You don't know what they're going to do with Aaron Smith yet, whether he's going to retire or whatnot.
Yeah, he's got to retire. I mean, there's no way, I don't think, that he stays.
I'm sure that's going to be his decision. There was also talk about, possibly Ben or Troy restructuring. So there's definitely going to be more moves to come. And, man, is this just a testament to how good Omar Khan is? I mean, that guy is a wizard. I've never seen anybody do what he does. And it's a testament to the whole team how, guys are just getting plucked off left and right. Jerry O going to going to interview with different teams. Now the Rams want to talk to Omar Khan. As soon as Arians was gone, the Indianapolis Colts plucked him right off the market. I mean, soon you're going to start seeing trainers and equipment guys getting called into different teams from the Steelers. It just shows you how good the Steelers are all the way from the bottom up. It's just an amazing organization, you know, from the lowest guy on the totem pole all the way up to the Rooneys. They do it. I don't see anybody doing it better in the league than they do. And Omar Khan is just incredible with the things he does with this contract restructuring. And like you said, you know, these guys aren't losing money. They wouldn't be so willing to restructure if it meant that they were getting, you know, X million less, you know. We could say, oh, you know, Lamar Woodley, you're such a good guy. Thank you so much for restructuring. Yeah, Lamar Woodley ain't getting $5 million less than he was supposed to get. He's just getting a little check in, you know, in his pocket right now and throwing some money off, you know, for the future. He's not getting any less. So, yeah, thank you, Lamar. But we all know you're still getting the same amount. But you know, it's great for this organization, and I'm glad Omar's here to be able to sort it all out.
And the thing about Omar, he was reportedly scheduled to interview yesterday, being Thursday, with the Rams, but Mark Cabali's let us know that that did not take place. The Steelers did not grant permission, evidently, because of the Rams. It would really have been a lateral move, even though they might have called it a GM position. He wouldn't have had personnel decisions. So unless the Rams could prove it on paper that the job would be a GM job other than just managing a salary cap, at least that's what I'm gathering from this whole situation. The Steelers did not have to grant permission, to interview Omar. So and Omar probably wouldn't want to go anywhere. You know, he's been linked to Bill Cowher for years, that when Bill Cowher gets back into coaching, that Omar will be his guy for general manager type candidate there. But Omar's not known as a football guy. Omar is known as a business administration guy, and the Steelers take care of him right now. So I suspect Omar stays put for at least another year and maybe longer, depending on what happens with Bill Cowher. So and you put it, you're going to lose people to other organizations. That's just going to happen when you have a good organization. But I think we're pretty set right now. Depends on what happens with Kirby Wilson, what they'll do with the duties as far as running back coach. They probably will just split up the duties right now, assuming that they think maybe Kirby can come back maybe at the end of the year or next season and all like that as well. So fear not there, Steeler Nation. Let's see. I've got an interview coming up here with Seth Paladin. He is the fan that you've been reading about over the last week, who hooked up with Antonio Brown while in Indianapolis, become real good friends with Antonio, and he shares his experience with Antonio during the week and how that all came about. Made for a nice little 15-20 minute interview there. Nick, you got anything kind of else to wrap us up heading up into the weekend here?
I don't think so. I think that's about it. Again, like everybody else, I'm going to wait to see this thing unfold. And now we got, you know, the combine and the draft coming up soon. So we're going to be evaluating all these draft prospects, and we're all going to, you know, me and you especially, going to make ourselves crazy with seeing who the Steelers are going to pick up here.
We'll be mock drafting our asses off. And you'll be doing, I think you got some breakdowns and all coming along the way over the next month as well, too. So, Nick, I appreciate you sitting in for David Todd today. If you're not following Nick on Twitter, at SteelCityKid117. He won't give you any of the crap that I give back on Twitter. He's a lot more even keel than I would ever hope to be. So, Nick, appreciate you joining me today.
Thank you, Dave. Always a pleasure.
And we'll come right back with my interview with Seth Paladin. Welcome back to the Terrible Podcast. My guest today on this Friday, as we head off into the first weekend of, we're not going to have football now. The Super Bowl is over, but a lot's going on in Steeler Nation. If you follow Twitter whatsoever, and if you don't, you're missing out. My guest now is going to be a testament to that, especially if you're a diehard Pittsburgh Steelers fan. You read about him all this week in the media, I'm sure, and if you follow Twitter, like I said, you know about him. His name is Seth Paladin, and he was the Steelers fan in Indianapolis. Indianapolis that hooked up with Antonio Brown for a whole week of fun there during the Super week leading up to the Super Bowl. So without further ado, Seth, welcome to the Terrible Podcast.
Thank you, Dave. How you doing?
Doing good. Like we said in the pre-interview chat here, I'm probably not doing as good as you are coming off this week. And I tell you, a lot of people in Steeler Nation, you know, probably wish they were you right now. Tell us a little bit, you know, how the meeting and how this kind of led up to, you know, becoming real good friends with Antonio Brown.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of all started, he was flying back from the Pro Bowl from Hawaii. And I live here in Indy, and he sent out a tweet that said, Indianapolis Steeler Nation, where are you guys at? So I'm not usually one to respond, you know, very much to those things, but I was like, hey, it's a Steelers player. I'm a big fan. I'll respond. Just sent out a tweet back. I said, hey, man, I live in Indy. Let's grab lunch, house 12:30. And I thought nothing of it. He's not going to respond, whatever. Then he comes back 10 minutes later, got a response. He's like, sounds great. Where do you want to go? And it kind of took off from there.
And I think he needed I remember the conversation on Twitter, I think, when it initially started, because I think I follow you on Twitter, and I know I follow Antonio on Twitter. Wasn't there a little bit of he needed some wheels or something like that?
Yeah. So we shared a few tweets back and forth, and then, you know, all of a sudden he says, by the way, I don't have a car. I need some wheels. So I'm like, no problem. And I got a car. I can get you. So he then DMs me, direct messages me his address of his hotel he's at. He had just got in about noon, and he had sent this probably around 2 o'clock. And so I shot over to his hotel. I tweeted him that I was there. He DM'd me again his room number and told me to come on up and hang out for a little bit.
Good deal. And judging by some of the – I know Darren Rovell's done a story on you. I know the NFL.com has done a story on you as well. Mm-hmm. Now, when you got up to the hotel room, then y'all went, I guess, down to the gym together and
went to
the pool?
Yeah, he was looking for a local workout spot, and I belong to a gym down here called Lifetime. So I told him I could get him in. Ended up taking him down there. He likes to swim in the off season, so he got that in. We did a workout, and then made plans. I told him I had a buddy's birthday to go to, and asked him to come along. He said he'd love to, so he came down with us. Went downtown, had a nice dinner at Capitol Grill, which is a real nice restaurant here. I think Pittsburgh has one as well. But he was very gracious, picked up the tab for me and all my friends. Just meeting us, and then we took him to a Pacer game. I sat front row on the wood, and he was having a blast.
Man, now when you showed up at the gym or whatnot, did it take long for people to recognize, or were you able to pretty much keep a low profile there?
Kind of crazy. We get there, and there's a manager right there at the desk. There's a young lady and the manager, and he recognizes Antonio right away. So he is gracious enough, and usually there's a small charge just to get a guest in. So he's like, yeah, don't even worry about it. Let's just go in and do our thing. So while we were at the gym in there, I think the first day we lifted, he didn't have any Steeler stuff on. But you could tell people's eyes were looking at him and kind of looking at me like, what has to do with me? And, you know, I let him kind of do his thing in his workout, but I did have people come up to me in the weight room and ask me who he was.
Interesting. The one thing about Antonio, I've commented to him before on Twitter as well, too, is that smile of his, man. I mean, every picture that you see of him on, you know, wherever it is, he's got that smile, and it's just as infectious as kind of Hines Ward's smile has been over the years as well, too. So, and you said you went out to the steakhouse and all like that, and you went to the Pacers game, and where'd y'all kind of leave things after, you know, a couple of days of running around?
Yeah, after a couple of days, I mean, basically every day we lifted. I actually got an email from the GM of the Lifetime, the fitness place. He's actually a huge Steelers fan. So he hooked us up with free massages. Antonio likes to do Pilates 3 times a week in the off season, so he taught me into doing that with him. That was a first for me. So free classes. We got gift bags, shirts, hats. They gave us everything. So that was nice of him. I mean, just kind of filling in the days. We went out to eat together a bunch. Showed him a few local spots around here. He had a bunch of, appearances to make, and he was gracious enough to take me to a lot of those, which was wonderful. Got to go into the Celebrity Flag Football locker room, meet guys like Devin Hester, Doug Flutie. So it was a very cool experience.
I tell you, that sounds like I mean, sounds like any Steelers fan's dream there. You know, the thing that I think we saw last year, especially leading up to throughout the lockout and all, is, you know, Antonio had posted videos of him working out down there in Miami and all like that. And the guy really seems to be very, very disciplined. And it really paid off for him in training camp this year with the Steelers. And then, of course, the season that he had. You know, is that kind of what, you know, is what we kind of see, you know, with Antonio on Twitter and Antonio in the videos and the interviews? Is that kind of what we see, is what we get with Antonio?
Oh, absolutely. He is just an animal in the weight room. Loves to get after it. I kind of let him do his thing. I did do a few exercises with him, but he is very intense. He doesn't mess around. He wants to get better. He kept talking about that. So, you know, what you see on Twitter about him wanting to become the best, it's 100% true, and he shows that with his work ethic.
Did he mention anything? You know, I know people are going to read these stories and listen, hopefully listen to this podcast and all. You know, I'm sure it can get bothersome at some time with all the requests and the fan requests and the Twitter. Did he ever mention anything like that? Or
the only thing he mentioned, he loves interacting with fans. He said, good or bad, whatever people write to him on Twitter, he loves the interaction and being able to, you know, bring them in to do stuff like he did with me. I don't think he's ever done anything like that before, but he does like the interaction. He said it never really gets annoying. He had a few people come up to him just on the streets thinking he was with Damian Tomlinson and different people. So he's kind of like the perfect celebrity to go out with. You know, your diehard Steelers fans are going to know him. Your good football fans will know him, especially, you know, he's Pro Bowler now. But, you know, the average random person isn't going to know the name.
Right, and he is, the more FaceTime that he gets nowadays, like you said, with Pro Bowl and all like that, you can't miss him now, especially if you're a diehard Steeler fan, and we know how displaced Steeler Nation is all over the country. And you're how old are you?
I'm 24.
And you are a Pittsburgh native. You were telling me that you moved to Indianapolis because you did your folks' job, I guess?
Yes, dad's job brought us out here when I was a bit younger, so I've been here. You know, through school and stuff, but originally from Pittsburgh, Monroeville.
How great is it, Seth, Twitter, and I can't imagine being a guy I'm probably nearly twice your age, but how great is it with Twitter and Facebook and the ability now just to keep up with instant news and keep in touch with, keep track of your favorite athletes and all? Just how crazy is that now?
I can't speak highly enough about Twitter. I always tell, you know, if you don't have one, you got to have one, especially after reading the story I just went through. You know, being able to get live, breaking news is broke on Twitter before anything else. So, and then being able to basically bring everybody to a level playing field where, you know, me and Antonio are the same, we both have a Twitter. I happen to tweet him, he happened to tweet me back. So, everybody's even there, you know. Anybody has potential to meet, you know, if they have an idol or something, somebody they want to meet, you know, it's possible they can meet them that way.
Absolutely, and I tell you, it really helps, you know, a blogger like me to keep on top of current news and to also get my stuff out as well, too. I just, the Twitter's just opened up so many. I really didn't understand it. I'm very computer literate, too, and I really didn't understand it, you know, right when Twitter came out a couple of years back. And, boy, I tell you, I wish I would have hit it even earlier than what I did. And, of course, I've been very active on Twitter on a couple of years now. Let's kind of transition now. You're a big fan of Steeler Nation, of the Steelers, and you keep track of all the news just like the rest of us. Tell me your thoughts on the recent hiring of Todd Haley.
I thought I like the name. I like what he did with Arizona. Obviously, you know, with the Steelers team now, it's not so much, you know, your ground and pound from back in the day. It's kind of airing it out. And, you know, Haley was successful with that in Arizona, and he was also successful running the ball in Kansas City. So he's had success in both areas. I think, you know, he's very competitive and wants to win just as much as Ben does. So I think that, you know, people have been talking, are they going to get along? Are they going to argue? You know, yeah, I did think about that. But the more I've read into it and read the articles and read the stories and about who Todd is and, you know, seeing what Ben said yesterday about Todd Haley, that I think it's going to be a good fit and they're going to push each other to be even better, you know, get the fire in the offense some more. And I think they'll still stick to their, you know, their weapons, which are, you know, obviously the young receivers with Wallace Brown and Sanders, and, you know, filling Heath Miller and Hines Ward still there. So, you know, they're going to be pretty potent next year.
Did the name of Haley come up, or the exit of Bruce Arians come up when you were spending time?
Actually, it did. I got some, you know, some kind of cool insight just being able to talk to him for, you know, five straight days, pretty much all day. I did ask him, you know, his thoughts on the Arians leaving and Haley coming in. He said, you know, he expected it to either be Haley or the QB coach, Randy. So it was one. He knew it was going to be down to one of them two. He said he liked Bruce. You know, Bruce, from what he said, you know, Ben pretty much had control of that offense. It was whatever Ben said went. So I don't know if that was a downfall that he didn't have any authority, Bruce, but he's excited for the opportunity to be with Haley. So I talked to him since he left, actually. So he's excited.
You know, we read the interview that Ed Bouchette had with Ben yesterday, and we kind of expected this. You know, like you said, I mean, you know, one of the drawbacks with Bruce Arians as the offensive coordinator was, you know, maybe just not too much, you know, not putting Ben in his place at times, not disciplining him enough, not pushing him hard enough. And, of course, you know, when you read Ben's comments in that interview, you know, I can understand some of the concern, but I think it's more of the fear of the unknown. And Ben, and I kind of wrote about this as well, Ben really having to go back to really just being a, you know, an employee again and being pushed again. So, you know, how much do you read into the comments that Ben made yesterday?
You know, I mean, Ben has to say, I mean, he can't say, I guess, exactly what's on his mind through the media. But, I mean, I think as far as him and Haley, you know, it's going to be, I think it eventually will be a good fit. You know, he is going to push him. He's going to have to learn that role that, you know, he can get better. And, you know, Haley's going to push him there. And if not, out of punishment that Haley's going to yell at him or whatnot. I know, you know, Arians probably, you know, didn't do that as much, being more complacent. But now, you know, with Haley there, he's going to be able to push Ben, hopefully, you know, up another notch and, you know, get us back in the Super Bowl.
I'm talking with Seth Paladin. You can follow him on Twitter, SD Paladin, all one word. He was the fan, Steelers fan, that was lucky enough to hit up with, become good friends with Antonio Brown during the week of the Super Bowl in Indianapolis. Seth, one final question, kind of closing you up here. Some of the concerns Ben had was, you know, the young receivers. He tried to point it to the young receivers and their ability. They've just got comfortable in the offense, and he's worried about them picking up a new offense. Did Antonio kind of, you know, talk about that, worried about picking up a new offense, or do you think Ben's fears of, you know, receivers not being able to pick the offense is just more of an extension of just trying to voice his displeasure with the move?
I think it's a mixture of both. We'll start with, actually, I did talk to Antonio about that. He was actually, you know, he thought it would be Randy, and he didn't mind either way, but I think he pushed for Randy just because he said, I don't want to have to learn a new system. He said, we got young guys, you know, we're going to be, you know, we're up and coming, and he would like to stay in the same system. As far as, you know, what I think and Ben, I think they need to meet, you know, somewhere in the middle. You got these young guys, they're the, you know, if you go position by position, I think the wide receivers, you could easily make an argument, the most talented group in the room. So, you know, you need to keep everything, you know, based towards them. Don't make it too confusing for them. Don't change too much. You can change what you need to change, and, you know, kind of meet somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, I think, and Haley basically said yesterday that, you know, starting with a clean slate, but at least some of the terminology, it sounds like it's going to be able to carry over, so that's good.
Yeah.
But, you know, they've got that's what the mini camps are for. That's what the OTA sessions are for. It would have been real hard for them to do this last off season with the strike and all, like, I mean, with the lockout and all like that. So, you know, if you're going to do it now, and, you know, Ben's just going to have to grin and Barrett and so are those young receivers. So, Seth, hey, I appreciate your time. I know people are going to, you know, you read the writing in some of these stories and you don't get the full story all the time. So I know you're excited. I know, you know, it was quite an honor to do what you did this past week. And I know you're the envy of a lot of Steeler fans. And I want to thank you for coming on the Terrible Podcast and sharing that story with me today.
Oh, no problem, Dave. I appreciate you having me on.
And we appreciate you listening to this episode of the Terrible Podcast. Like I said, my partner, co-host David Todd, out in London, I think, partying with the Queen or something like that. Hopefully he'll be back next week. If not, I might have Nick sit back in. But as always, we appreciate you listening to the Terrible Podcast. And special thanks once again to Nick Ricchetta for sitting in for David Todd.